This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. Palm Sunday. First posted March 16, 2008. Palm Sunday is the day the church commemorates Jesus' entry into Jerusalem the week of his crucifixion. Isaiah 50:4-9. The Lord's servant, Psalm 31:1-5. 9-16. Prayer for deliverance, Philippians 2:5-11. The example of Christ, Matthew 27:11-54, or 26:1-27:66. Jesus' trial, conviction, death. Isaiah paraphrase, the Lord has given his servant the knowledge and ability to testify as one who has been formally educated, so that he can encourage and sustain the weary people of God. Each day the Lord provides the ability to hear with insight. The Lord opens the spiritual ears of his servant who is not rebellious or unfaithful. The Lord's servant submitted to flogging and abuse, he didn't resist shame and spitting. Because God helps his servant, the servant has not been defeated. His resolve is certain, confident that he will not be put to shame, because God, who is able and faithful to vindicate his servant, is near. If the Lord is near and vindicates the servant, who will oppose him? Let him try. Who is the servant's adversary who will declare him guilty? Some paraphrase, those who take refuge in the Lord will never be put to shame. Because God does what is right and true and good, God will deliver them and rescue them quickly. The Lord is a refuge and fortress to save them. Because they trust in the Lord for protection and rescue, the Lord will lead and guide them for the sake of the Lord's name, his character and reputation. The Lord is able and will deliver them from the hidden trap, because they have sought refuge in him. God is faithful, and those who entrust their spirit, their eternal soul, to him will be redeemed from eternal condemnation and destruction. When the Lord's servant is in distress, wasted in soul and body by grief, the Lord will be gracious to him, even though his life and body is wasted with grief and sorrow and his years with misery. The Lord's servant has become an object of scorn and horror to his neighbors and enemies and a dread to his friends. People go out of their way to avoid him in public. He has become like a broken pot, and has passed from memory like the dead. On every side his enemies plot to destroy him, scheming to take his life. But the servant trusts in his Lord, who he acknowledges as his God. He has committed his circumstances into the Lord's care, trusting that the Lord will deliver him from his enemies. May the Lord's favor be upon his servant and deliver him from his enemies and persecutors. Philippians paraphrase, Paul was discipling the Christians at Philippi, in Macedonia. He urged them to be united and unwavering in their understanding of Jesus' example. Although Jesus was the fullness of God in human form, Colossians 2:8-9, he laid that aside, not trying to be exalted by mankind, and instead became a menial servant. Having been born in human flesh, he humbled himself and submitted to physical death, even the excruciatingly painful death on the cross. Because of his obedience to God's will, even unto death, God has exalted him and has given him a name, glory and fame, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2:10-11. Matthew paraphrase, Jesus had been captured and brought before the Roman governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate. The governor asked if Jesus was claiming to be king of the Jews as the Jewish religious leaders had charged. Jesus replied that they were the ones who had said so. Pilate asked Jesus if he knew the many charges the Jews were bringing against him, and Jesus did not reply, so Pilate wondered what was going on. The Roman governor was accustomed to releasing a Jewish prisoner at the Passover festival, as an act of political patronage. So Pilate gathered the Jews and asked them if they wanted him to release Barabbas, a notorious criminal, or Jesus. Pilate knew that the Jews had denounced Jesus out of jealousy. Also, Pilate's wife had a premonition about Jesus in a dream, and had warned her husband not to become involved in Jesus' execution. But the crowd demanded Jesus' execution and asked for Barabbas' release. Pilate asked the crowd what Jesus had done to deserve execution, but they just kept demanding execution. So when Pilate saw that no compromise was possible, and that a riot was beginning, he washed his hands in a basin of water in the presence of the crowd and declared himself innocent of Jesus' blood. And all the people responded, "His blood be upon us and on our children." Matthew 27 minutes and 25 seconds. So Pilate released Barabbas and had Jesus whipped and handed over to the soldiers for crucifixion. The Roman soldiers took Jesus into the governor's house and put a red robe upon Jesus, a reed in his hand, and a woven crown of thorns upon his head. They knelt down before Jesus and mocked him, hailing him as the King of the Jews. They spat upon him and struck him on the head with the reed. Then they reclothed Jesus in his own garments and led him out to be crucified. As they marched out, they encountered Simon of Cyrene passing by and compelled him to carry Jesus' cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, meaning place of the skull, outside the wall of Jerusalem in sight of the road into and out of the city. They offered wine mixed with a bitter substance, but when Jesus tasted it he would not drink it. They nailed Jesus to the cross, and then divided Jesus' garments between them, and his tunic, which was seamless, by casting lots, similar to rolling dice. Then they sat down to watch. They also placed a sign over him declaring Jesus to be the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with Jesus, on either side. Passers-by mocked Jesus, saying that Jesus had said that if the temple were destroyed he could rebuild it in 3 days, and suggesting that if he were the Son of God he should prove it by coming down from the cross. The Jewish leaders also mocked Jesus, saying that Jesus had saved others but could not save himself. They said that if Jesus was truly the Son of God that he should prove it by coming down from the cross and then they would believe in him. They suggested that since Jesus had trusted in God, God should be able to save Jesus if God desired. The robbers, at least one of them, also reviled Jesus. From noon until 3 o'clock, the sun was darkened, a solar eclipse, and at 3 p.m. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, in Aramaic, Jesus' native language, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was quoting Psalm 22:1 and fulfilling the prophecy of the Son at that moment. The bystanders thought Jesus was calling Elijah, who was believed to return to herald the coming of Messiah, see Matthew 17:10-14. One of the bystanders attempted to revive Jesus with vinegar on a sponge extended to Jesus on a reed. The others waited to see if Elijah would come and save Jesus. Then Jesus yielded his spirit with a loud cry. At the moment of Jesus' death, the curtain separating the presence of God from the people in the temple was torn into from top to bottom. There was a great earthquake and the graves were opened and the saints of God were raised and appeared to many in Jerusalem. When the centurion and the Roman soldiers saw the disturbances of nature they were afraid and declared that Jesus was the Son of God. Commentary: the text from Isaiah dates around the time of Cyrus of Persia, 539 B.C. While Judah, the remnant of Israel, was in exile in Babylon. The word of God is eternal, and is fulfilled over and over as the conditions for its fulfillment are met. The word applied to the prophet as the Lord's servant at the time it was written, to Israel who was called to be the Lord's servant, to Jesus, who was the fulfillment of God's word as the suffering servant of the Lord, and it applies to believers and the church. Today, who are the new Israel? Jesus is the fulfillment, embodiment and example of God's word lived in human flesh in this world, John 1:1-3:14. He teaches by word and example how to be the servant of the Lord. Jesus was not accepted by his own hometown and his own nation and religion, because his knowledge and ability to proclaim God's word was not by formal worldly education, Isaiah 50:4-5. Compare Matthew 14:53-58, Mark 6:1-6a, Luke 4:16-30. Jesus was flogged and abused, mocked and spat upon, without resisting. Jesus entrusted himself to God and was vindicated by resurrection to eternal life from the dead. Those who oppose Jesus will not succeed. Jesus' resurrection is the fulfillment and proof of God's word that those who trust and obey God will never be abandoned but will be protected and rescued from evil and harm. Jesus' enemies opposed him but were overcome by God. They were plotting to destroy him, but God raised him to eternal life, 1 Corinthians 2:6-8. Jesus fulfilled and demonstrated the truth and faithfulness of God's word. Jesus showed us how to trust and obey God's word and receive God's promises. The same word calls us to become the Lord's servants and promises God's support and vindication to us as we trust and obey his word. The Jewish religious leaders claimed to know God and God's word, yet they didn't see that Jesus was the long-promised Messiah, the Son of God and Son of David. Pilate, the Roman governor, a Gentile, was smart enough, without any formal training in the Bible, to recognize that Jesus was innocent. Even Pilate's wife advised him not to participate in Jesus' execution, but the Jewish people, misguided by their leaders, invited the guilt for Jesus' execution upon themselves and on their children. When given the choice, they chose to receive Barabbas, a notorious criminal, and chose to reject and execute their innocent Savior and eternal King. Everything written about Jesus in the Old Testament, at least 500 to 1,000 years before, for example, Psalms attributed to David, was fulfilled. The crucifixion method of execution was foretold in prophecy, for example Psalm 22:7-8, 14-18, although stoning was the Jewish form of execution. Crucifixion was a Roman form of execution, which was unknown in Israel until Judea became a Roman province around 63 B.C. Jesus was mocked, spat upon and beaten, Matthew 27:27-30, Isaiah 50:5-6. They nailed his hands and feet to the cross, Psalm 22:16. They divided Jesus' garments and cast lots, Psalm 22:18. Jesus made no claim to be a political king, John 6:15-18-36. It was the charge brought by the Jews against him which they hoped would justify Jesus' execution to the Roman governor. He died between two criminals, Matthew 27:38, and was buried in the tomb of a rich man, Matthew 27:57-60, compare Isaiah 53:9. The Gentile Roman soldiers who witnessed the crucifixion saw the disturbances of nature and were convinced that Jesus was the Son of God, Matthew 27:54, but the Jewish religious leaders, who claimed to know God and be experts in the Bible, who claimed that they would believe if Jesus came down from the cross, Matthew 27:42, and who posted guards and sealed the tomb to make sure his disciples didn't fake a resurrection, Matthew 27:62-66, still didn't believe when Jesus arose from the grave. The Jews took responsibility upon themselves and their children for Jesus' crucifixion. When they rejected their Messiah, God lifted his favor and protection from them. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD, within the lifetime of those who were adults at Jesus' crucifixion. The Jews were scattered throughout the world and Israel ceased to exist as a nation, until it was re-established following World War II. The temple, with the sacrificial system on which the old covenant of law was dependent, has never been re-established. Where was God during the Holocaust? Where were the Jews when Jesus was crucified? I don't believe that the Jews are irrevocably lost, but I am convinced that the only way that they will be saved is by accepting Jesus as Messiah and Lord, Romans 11:14-31, Matthew 23:37-39. In a sense, we have all crucified Jesus, because we are all sinners, Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10, and have made Jesus' sacrifice on the cross necessary for our forgiveness and salvation from eternal death, which is the penalty for sin, Romans 6:23, see God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top, right. Are we, as individuals and as the church, any more knowledgeable about the Bible and any more prepared for Jesus' second coming than the Jews and Judaism were for his first coming? Is Jesus your Lord, Matthew 7:21-23, Luke 6:46? Are you Jesus' disciple, John 8:31? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus, John 14:21? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed, Acts 19:2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-14, Ephesians 1:14-14. Asterisk the Oxford Annotated Bible, Revised Standard Version, Education by Herbert G. May and Bruce M. Metzger, Introduction to Isaiah, page 822, New York, Oxford University Press, 1962. http://www.answers.com/topic/63-b.c.